I know you probably have to take off with your schedule, but and before we go, we wanted to talk briefly about the future programming for churches. And what I'm hearing in this conversation, and Richard, jump in too on this if you have a comment, but we're looking for churches, they think about what's the benchmark, what's the litmus test to begin opening up some rooms, whether it be for nursery or preschool or whatever those classes are. Are we saying, and I'm not going to say, hey, this is the council that makes the decision, because we're not that, right? We're just simply a group trying to consult here with some ideas and perspectives. Is the litmus test or the benchmark when schools open back up? Is that the point in time when churches really should consider maybe that being the demarcation point to begin opening up some classrooms in the church itself, even if they have already begun to gather in the big assembly per family spatial distancing? Is that kind of a consensus? What do you all think about that? Is that something that churches should gauge, I guess?
I think again, this is a lot of unknowns, a lot of hard calls. I appreciate all of Will's good preaching on the church being a family, because we are a family. We're a family made up of families. And so we've got to care for each other well. And I think we've got to, again, go according to government guidelines and do well with that, think through all those things. But I want to say this, and I want to advocate on behalf of our children's ministry leaders out there in whatever church, whatever size, is that senior pastors, please involve your children's ministry leaders, whether they are paid or whether they're volunteers, your key leaders, please involve them in your decision-making. Because that is so important. Those are your very important volunteers, and they need to speak into it and at least be heard is important. But then also they can give you some great guidance, because they're the ones working with kids. They know that masks don't work with kids. They know kids do not social distance, and they can give you great insight. So I want to make sure and have that be said during this time. Please involve your people in decision making.
You know, I think, Craig, there's just a couple of things. I mean, speaking from a pastor's perspective and thinking about, I think we have to remember, we have our normative churches, which actually make up the vast majority of our churches, less than 150, 200 people max. But a lot of those churches are less than 100. I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind is there may be a difference in a regional church that's drawing people from the Tri-County. You know them, but you really don't know them. And somebody who all lives within a mile, they're related. You don't ever know who you can talk about because they're related to somebody somewhere. So that's your normative church. You have to be very, I think it's different. Also, we talk about, you can't necessarily base it on the school system. There's school systems can do spatial distancing that some churches can't. So what if the school system comes back and says, we're going to reduce class size, and this is the number, and this is the square footage? Steve, you made a great point. I think we need to continue to listen to what the government tells us about safe distancing. It says, Craig told us, the governor said 50% in restaurants. Well, just because a restaurant can do 50%, the church might not be able to, because we may not be set up the way they are. So I think normative and regional we have to consider. But, you know, one thing, we got to not make dates. The last thing I need to do is say, I'm going to do this on this date. I have no idea what tomorrow holds, much less what 3 months holds. Scripture says something about that, right? So I don't know what tomorrow holds. The other thing, that if I could just touch on this when we're talking about these dates, the vast majority of the volunteers in our churches are in the high-risk group. They're in our senior adult group. I don't think we've really talked about yet. How are we going to ensure that the vast majority of our volunteers in our children's ministries are protected? And have we even really thought through what's going to happen when we're taking our most vulnerable and putting them around our Petri dishes? And what does that look like in the big picture? And so just a thought. I mean, there's no answer to that question. I wish there was, but I think that's one of the things that I keep kicking around is, how are we going to evaluate our volunteers and not be the one that places them in that critical mass situation?
Yeah, that's good, Richard. And even going, smaller churches may have an upper hand in reemergence than our churches. So our Vacation Bible School usually draws around 700 to 800 kids. Looking at 700 to 800 kids right now, whether it's July or August, I just don't even see that.
I don't see it.
Possibility.
Right.
But if it's if government guidelines, according to medical personnel, everything seems to be like, we can have a group of 50, maybe 100, maybe. Then our smaller churches are going to be on the front lines of being able to pull off something, you know, potentially. The issue is smaller churches typically have smaller facilities. Larger churches have larger facilities, and it sort of gears itself to the numbers of kids that, and people that you have at your church. So, you know, just trying to still pull off social distancing, even a smaller church, hard, but smaller churches may have an upper hand in getting back to some sort of meeting together.
If I can add a couple of things that have come to mind, and one of those is capitalizing on good things that have started in this time. Online presence. Sharing our online presence with churches that don't have an online presence. We have an unprecedented, in my years of children's ministry experience, opportunity for church collaboration when it comes to things like VBS. That is a moment which we are doing this summer together. Right now, we have 6 to 7 churches who are already on board where we're doing this thing together. And it's going to be an in-home approach, VBS at home, but we're working together. We're pooling our resources, which also protects those, you know, it takes an army to make VBS happen. So it protects those who love, love, love VBS, and maybe it's the only thing they can do all year, but we really can't do that this year. So it's opportunities to work together as the church in Charleston to reach everybody where they are. There are going to be people that can't come back. Have this strategy, capitalize on some of these things we've been doing to reach them where they are. I think those are very exciting things that stay in the future. Those things stay because we're seeing people viewing the videos, the live streams that wouldn't come into church anyway. So yes, regathering is so important, but I think we're going to be looking at a both and in the future and our strategy for reaching our communities and our kids.
And this is a great time to capitalize on capturing how we can do a better job of home, and church, you know, partner, true partnerships.
Yes.
Going forward. So I'm looking forward to opportunities of that.
And, you know, I think that's a great point. And I know Michelle mentioned before we came on the live portion of this that we'll be making the information available. For both Michelle and Stephen, for some of our normative churches to be able to reach out and find out how those partnerships work and how can we gather information. And I think one of the most important things at this point is the collaboration for the kingdom and understanding that Stephen, you nailed it. Our rural churches really have an advantage through this. They're going to be able to do a lot more, a lot quicker, and get out front. But our regional churches have a great opportunity to be kingdom partners with our rural churches as they launch. And I know Craig and I have literally done everything we can to try to help that collaboration and it not be a competition. And I think our children's ministry is one of the most wonderful areas to see that in. And I think that's going to be valuable as we move forward.
I can't thank you all enough for being on this consult today with us to provide your insights, your wisdom, you know, your expertise in all these different things. And as we think of the future for children's ministry and programming, I also want to thank you for being a resource for us because many churches are looking to collaborate, just what Richard said, to get information. And so I appreciate the way Steve, you and Michelle both are navigating through a very innovative VBS at home this summer. without the big gathering that you all are so used to doing every year. And I just think that speaks so well to us, again, loving people, like Dr. Martin was saying, stewarding them well, and at the same time, still continuing to extend the message of Christ and the gospel. And, you know, what's amazing that we're learning from our churches right now is that there are more churches that are getting more people that are watching and listening to the messages from their church than at any other time, unprecedented in the history of those churches. Mm-hmm. So we cannot devalue or de-emphasize the importance of decentralized church and what it has done. It has allowed us to reach more people, perhaps, than we have in a long, long time. So while we are really desiring, because we're made to be social, we're made to have community, we really need to lean in continually about this opportunity. The most important thing really is getting the message out and loving people well, and knowing that God is going to allow for us to have that privilege again to be in community with one another as we once did. It will come, but we just have to be patient. Dr. Tucker, you've been so kind to give us your time today from home, and we appreciate the way you have spoken with grace and with wisdom to us. Anything you wanted to add to just give us some summary thoughts, just as churches begin to navigate through this time?
One was actually an error. I misspoke earlier at the beginning of our conversation. I said that South Carolina cases, known positives, were on the downward trend. I misspoke. I should have said estimated number of cases are on a downward trend for the last 2 weeks. The confirmed positive cases are stable in the 140s to 160s. The reason why I wanted to clarify that, I guess, depending on who's listening to this kind of as a recording, one of the markers for reemergence, reentry, whatever term you want to use there, was a clear downward trend in cases for a two-week period. And so the total positive number of cases, confirmed cases, are not on a downward trend. It's the estimated number of cases in South Carolina. And that goes down to, you know, much smarter people than I am understanding statistics, biostatistics, making those estimations. You know, I would just echo what Will said and what everyone has already said, that this is a time for people to come together, to not look at the walls of the church as a boundary to who you're responsible for, that we're really, you know, especially in the office with Will and I, we're really trying to serve lots of different people who come from lots of different backgrounds. I really look at it, my job as a pediatrician, but then as a member of the a local church, who can I reach and how can I do that safely? How can I love someone well? And for, like Will, Dr. Martin said earlier, and I think some other folks have said, it's going to look different. And every day I have to pray to do that well and not to offend. And hopefully the only thing that will be offensive is Jesus' name, when I invoke his name in a loving way, and not the things we do at the level of the church. I really do see this season as an opportunity, even though there have been some really hard moments in my life so far, homeschooling children, being at work, being at home. But it's also, it's an opportunity for me personally too. So.
That's great. Well, thank you again all so much. And we're going to provide your information, both Neighbors Medical as well.
Oh, and can I correct you? It's Neighbors Pediatrics. There is a Neighbors Med, that's Dr. Reinhart and Dr. Smith, but it's actually Neighbors Pediatrics.
We'll make sure that's footnoted in our information that goes out. We'll make sure that we get that right. Thank you so much for that. And also, Steve, appreciate you. And we'll definitely put your contact information and Michelle also as resources that you all can serve just to help give advice and counsel to some of our churches that are reaching out. Thank you so much. God bless you. And man, we're praying for you, churches. We're with you in this. Let's keep walking together. Let's be patient and let's trust the Lord with all our heart, but be careful not to lean on our own understanding, but let's collaborate together and consult with one another. God bless you. Thank you for watching.